So I love that wee video, though it makes me wonder whether they only chose those that really reacted very well to, you know, 20 people jumping out of a box and coming towards you dressed in red and white. But I love it because it shows a moment. It shows a moment of real joy, of real pleasure, of something that really does make your heart smile. It's a little dose of joy. This is the title of the video is When You Need a Daily Dose of Joy. But we're talking tonight about Christian joy. We're talking about joy in terms of the joy of the Lord. And the joy that we enjoy in Christ is not just a little burst, is it? It's a sustained joy. It's a constant. It's to be a constant in our life. It's firm and it's deep. It's not a natural joy. It's not a natural joy. It's a supernatural joy. It's derived from the Holy Spirit of God the Father. And it is the fruit of the Spirit. We've been talking these evenings about the fruit of the Spirit. The second one is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So it's to be in our lives. We talked about how the fruit of the Spirit, we all have all of the fruits of the Spirit. We are to see joy in our life and to exercise it in our life. But we're talking tonight about a little dose of joy. And I'm really going to labour this sort of medical metaphor, so you're just going to have to stick with me. So we're going to talk about three things tonight. We're going to talk about who prescribes our joy. Who prescribes your joy? Where is our joy derived from? Second of all, getting the dosage right. How do we see, or where do we get our joy? How do we see it come to fruition in our lives? And thirdly, keeping it on repeat prescription. How do we sustain joy in our life? So prescribing, who prescribes your joy? Joy comes from this little Greek word that we have, which is chara. And it means joy. It means delight. It means gladness. And it is joy that comes from the Lord and the things of the Lord. The Bible tells us several different places where joy is found. If you go on to the next slide there, please. So we have joy in God's creation. Psalm 65 talks about the joy that's to be found in the abundance of God's creation. The writer, the psalmist, talks about the celebration of a bountiful harvest. A bountiful harvest. There is joy in God's creation. Jeremiah talks about joy that's to be found in weddings, in the celebration of marriages. And we've all been to weddings where we celebrate the joy of two people being joined before God. Proverbs tells us that we are to find joy in our children, in our families. We find joy in worship and praise, in coming before God in an attitude of worship and joy. And in the Old Testament, we hear about the Israelites. And what the Israelites had done through their lives and through the many sort of trials that they'd gone through as a nation, they had developed what you could call an attitude of joy. An attitude of joy that was displayed at all times. For example, when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, when they left Egypt, the first thing they did was what? They sang and they shouted for joy. If you go on to the next slide there, it says in Psalm 105, the Lord caused his people to leave Egypt, that is, to leave with his chosen ones with shouts of joy. They celebrated what God had done for them. They danced, they sang, and they shouted for joy. Even though they're still in the middle of the desert, they have the past sort of memory of what it's been like to be in slavery in Egypt. They're in the desert. The promised land is still pretty far away. It's still a distant future that they're looking towards. Yet, the joy that they found was not in where they were, but it was in the present, not in the present circumstances, but in what God had done for them and in their confident expectation of their destiny in him. They were joyful. Christ is often called the great physician, isn't he? We often refer to him as the great physician. This is from Frank G. Allen. It says, "The great physician now is near. The sympathizing Jesus, he speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus." It was Jesus' birth that was foretold or was told with great joy. Remember, as the whole heavenly host appeared in the heavens and sang and celebrated good news that brings great joy. Even on the cross, Christ demonstrated this. It says in Hebrews that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He scorning its shame, and he then sat down at the right hand of God. Even on the cross, Jesus had his eyes fixed on the joy of the Lord. And Jesus sent out the disciples, didn't he, with the Great Commission. And the disciples in the early church were known as people, as believers who were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. We all know of what the early church went through. They were persecuted. They were under pressure. We have several verses in the New Testament tell us we are hard pushed, hard pressed on every side. Yet they were people who were full of joy. They were people filled with joy from the Holy Spirit. And we find joy in what God blesses us with, don't we? We find joy in the people that God has blessed us with, in the situations we find ourselves in. What gives me great joy is my friends and my family, my friends' kids. I love spending time with them and experiencing joy in their company. And the twins are running around and pushing each other over. That gives me great joy to watch that as they grow. I love dusk. Dusk is my favourite time of day. When the sun starts to set, there is a joy that fills my heart that I can't really describe. There is joy to be found in the things that God has blessed us with, in those that we love, in those that we come into contact with every day. But Nehemiah tells us this, and it's in Nehemiah 8:10. It says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." It's the joy of the Lord that gives us strength. One of the meanings of joy here in Nehemiah 8:10 is to be joined. To be joined. You can see that in order for the joy of the Lord to be our strength, then we must be joined with God in some way. We must be joined with him. And being joined with God causes joy in your life. So we talk about the joy of the Lord being our strength. Our weakness can be then to be said that our weakness can be said then to be an absence of joy. When we are deficient in joy, we are weak. When do you need a dose of medication? You need a dose of medication or a vitamin or something like that when you're deficient in something. When your body isn't producing something, or there's a deficiency in you in some way. If you're deficient in vitamin D, then you take a vitamin D supplement. If you're deficient in calcium, then you're knocking back the milk and the yogurts and so on to input that into your body. I'm diabetic, so my little body doesn't make any insulin, so I have to 5 times a day inject myself with insulin. So I need to be putting that into my body in order for it to function, in order to be strong and live and, you know, generally survive. But the root of our strength really is, the root of our strength is the quality of our joy, isn't it? The root of our strength is the quality of our joy. And we're linking joy and strength in some way, but how do we grow and develop joy as a strength in our lives? And where do we go when we feel that we have that deficiency? Where do we go when we feel weak in joy and in strength? We move on to the next slide then. So the dosage, how do we get that right in our lives? Where do we go? Where does Popeye get his strength? It was Simon that came up with this. Where does Popeye go when he needs a dose of strength? He goes to his spinach. Though I have to say, that looks like cream spinach, so I can't imagine it's terribly good for you. if it's cream spinach from a tin. But anyway, that's where he goes when he needs strength. That's where he goes and the muscles pop out and he's, you know, sorted out. But where do we go when we need a dose of joy? When we need to be strengthened in the Lord. I was thinking about David, and David is one of our sort of examples in the Bible of somebody who was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. He was God's man. He was somebody who experienced and practiced the joy of the Lord in his life. We think of 2 Samuel, where David was stripped down to his linen ephod and was dancing in front of the Ark of the Lord. And he looked probably faintly ridiculous, so much so that his wife, Michal, told him, "You look ridiculous. A man like you dancing like an idiot in front of the Ark of the Lord." But he danced for joy because here there was, the Ark of the Lord was returning to Jerusalem, returning to its home place. And he was dancing for joy. And he was dancing for joy because his joy was in his strength and the strength of the Lord. And there were two ways that we'll think about that David was strengthened. First of all, he was strengthened by his friend, Jonathan, the son of Saul. And here we have him, 1 Samuel. And Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horus and helped him find strength in God. Jonathan was David's best friend, even though his own father, Saul, hated David at this point. Jonathan and David were great friends, and Jonathan helped David find strength in the Lord, renewed in joy, ready to continue. And we also, in our lives, can be strengthened by a friend and finding our joy in the Lord. That's one of the reasons why we have community here. That's why we gather to worship in community, to be strengthened in one another, to celebrate what God has done in us, through us, and with us. It's through ministering to others, isn't it? To use what you have yourself and sharing that with others, ministering to others in our own communities and outside the communities. There is joy to be found in strengthening one another. Godly encouragement of one another is a great gift, and it's something we all can do, isn't it? To build each other up, to edify one another, to build up God's church. Another way that David was strengthened in God was he strengthened himself. If you go on to the next slide there, just... Oh, no, go back. That's it, sorry. I was looking for himself, but it actually says yourself, so that's my problem. So, being strengthened by yourself, David strengthened himself. So David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. How do you strengthen yourself in the Lord your God? David at this point in 1 Samuel, David had had a pretty rough day. David had been away. He returned home to discover that the Amalekites had stolen everything. Everything that was important to him. They'd stolen everything, and now his men were turning against him. He'd had a pretty rough day, but yet he strengthened himself in God. He retained his joy. He built himself up. He encouraged himself through prayer and through worship, through practicing and developing that joy that he'd had before the Lord. He encouraged himself in God. It says David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He went into God, into the presence of God, and recovered his joy. He received his joy, and he continued to focus on the things of God as his strength, focusing on his word. There's a little story that I was reading about a man who went in to visit other people who were unwell in the hospital. And he was visiting this one man who previously had had one leg amputated and then was in the hospital after having the other one amputated. So he's in bed, he's no legs. And the man came in to visit him and he said, "Look, they're telling me here that you are the happiest, most joyful person in this hospital. How is that possible? You've got to be putting this on. You know, you've had both of your legs amputated. You're here. You're not able to do anything for yourself at the moment. How could you possibly be the most joyful person in the hospital?" And he goes, I am the most joyful person in the hospital. You see that wee book over there? And it's his wee black Bible sitting on the table beside him. That wee book over there, that's my medicine. That's my medicine. That was what was sustaining him. That was what was allowing him to grow and develop and retain his joy, even though he's lying in a hospital bed with both of his legs amputated. We find our medicine in the Word of God. I love this little bit from Jeremiah 15. It says, your words were found and I ate them. Your words were found and I ate them. Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah counted the Word of God so highly that he ate them. He inwardly digested them. He inwardly digested them to the point that they filled his heart with joy. The words themselves became the joy of his heart, the delight of his heart. There's one other way, there's several ways, but another way I was thinking around that we can be strengthened in joy and in the Lord is being strengthened by an encounter. We have Paul here writing in 2 Timothy or 2 Timothy. Paul has been at this point alone. He's either sent people away to other places or he's been abandoned by others. He's alone. It says, when it was time for my first defense, no one showed up to support me. Everyone abandoned me. May it not be held against them, except the Lord. He stood by me, strengthened me, and backed the truth I proclaimed with power, so that it may be heard by all the non-Jews. And if you just go on to the next slide there. And he continues, he rescued me, the Lord. He rescued me. He rescued me, pried open the lion's jaw and snatched me from its teeth. And I know the Lord will continue to rescue me from every trip, trap, snare and pitfall of evil and carry me safely to his heavenly kingdom. May he be glorified throughout eternity. Amen. Paul has been abandoned. He's been abandoned. He is alone. But the Lord has stood with him and he's strengthened him. He's been strengthened and he continues then after being strengthened by the Lord, after meeting the Lord and encountering him in his strength. He continues in the joyful knowledge that God will go with him. God will go with him and lead him into the heavenly kingdom. May God be glorified throughout eternity. Amen. Are we encountering God when we are feeling weak, deficient in joy, deficient in strength? Are we opening ourselves up to encounter God? We were, the last two Sundays, looking at Psalm 126. And Titch preached last week and then Graham the week before. And Psalm 126 is what they call a psalm of ascent. Now, this is from the Passion Translation. And I love the way the Passion Translation, it's not the Passion Translation, it's the Voice. That's what it is, it's the Voice. The way the Voice labels this, it calls it a song of the stairway. And what do you do with a stairway? You ascend the stairway and you descend the stairway. But the Jews are going up, the Israelites are going up to Jerusalem. They're ascending up to the temple. And this is what they sing and proclaim as they go. They say, it was like a dream come true when you freed us from our bondage and brought us back to Zion. We laughed and overflowed with gladness. We were left shouting for joy and singing your praise. All the nations saw it and joined in, saying, the Lord has done great miracles for them. They sung this. They sang for joy as they ascended up to the temple, as they traveled up together to encounter God in his house of worship. And what they're doing as they're going is they're stirring up joy in and amongst themselves and amongst each other as they gather together and they ascend up ready to encounter Jesus. And in stirring up their joy, their strength is increased as individuals and as a community. Isaiah 56 says, I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem and will fill them with joy in the house of prayer. Isaiah talks about the people entering Jerusalem rejoicing, singing, crowned with everlasting joy. So our prayer and our praise as we approach Jesus, as we approach the house of the Lord, is a means of stirring up joy within us. Do we approach the Lord here in his house, in prayer and praise as well, in our own homes and in our own lives? Do we approach him with the confident expectation that he can and will fill us with his joy, with his strength? Are we stirring up joy within ourselves, ready to encounter him in expectation of him? How do we sustain this in our daily lives? How do we sort of keep it, so to speak, on repeat prescription? My granddad passed away when I was very young. And I remember one thing he used to tell me was, listen here, wee girl, and I've always been wee girl and I always will be wee girl. Listen here, wee girl, you know what I do every morning when I get up? I look in the mirror and I say this. I say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Every morning, my grandfather had the practice of looking in the mirror and saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad. My grandfather wasn't a well man towards the end. He died very suddenly, but he had heart and he had health problems. But he had this practice. And he was one of the most joyful, faithful men of prayer and of God that I knew, and has left such a legacy in my own life. But he had this practice and he kept it on repeat. And it's something I try to live out in my own life. I fail consistently, but I try and live this out. He just recited Psalm 118 to himself every morning. What do we say we take a dose of medication for, or something, a supplement? We take it for something that is deficient within ourselves, something that's lacking, maybe something our body doesn't produce. Like I said, my body doesn't make any insulin, so I have to inject it into myself. A dose, like we say, with a dose, with a wee video, a dose is just a wee burst of something. But for it actually to make a difference, you have to take it every day, don't you? There's certain types of medication where you have to keep going. You can't take it without the doctor's sort of consent. You have to take it on repeat. The video we looked at, as wonderful as it was, and the joy and the smiles that came to people's lives in that moment, was one moment. It wasn't sustained. We don't know what the rest of those people's lives were like. It wasn't as if they were going back there every morning. How do we sustain our joy in the Lord? How do we keep it on repeat, so to speak? Sometimes it's something within us that is potentially stopping our joy from coming to the surface. Maybe it's just buried deeply there. Maybe it's something that we have carried with us from the past that needs to be released. Something we need to confess, something we need to deal with from the past. Maybe it's an ongoing situation in the present that holds us back from experiencing the joy of the Lord. Paul in 2 Corinthians says, our hearts ache, but we always have joy. Paul was talking about how even in the midst of pain or persecution and trial in the context of 2 Corinthians, even in the midst of pain, there is joy to be found. We can't live our lives, our daily lives, deficient in joy. There is no deficiency in the Holy Spirit. There is no deficiency in God the Father, and there is certainly no deficiency in Christ the Son. Psalm 23 tells us what? The Lord's my shepherd, I will not want, I lack nothing. In him, nothing is lacking. So are we trusting God every day for the things of him? Are we, like my granda did every morning, getting up and offering the day to the Lord? Offering the day to the Lord, celebrating the fact that he has given us one more day. That it is the day that the Lord has made. Are we trusting in God? 1 Peter 1 verse 8 says, although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. Are we joyful in the knowledge that we can trust the Lord our God? That we can trust him for the things of him? Do we turn to the word of God? Do we turn to it for our medicine, for our good, like the man with no legs in the bed? Are we turning to his word as our source, as our ultimate source? And do we enjoy our faith? Do we enjoy the things of our faith? Or are we doing it just because it's what we've always done? Are we searching for the opportunities to find joy in our faith? Philippians talks about the joy of our faith. Are we joyful people? Or are we stony-faced people that come into church and then leave again without actually experiencing the joy of the Lord? Or practicing it or releasing it in our lives or in the lives of others? And are we turning to our community as a source of our joy? The Greek Kairo is to rejoice or to be glad. Sin Kairo is to rejoice with, enjoy with. Are we enjoying with, rejoicing with? Do we focus on the things that bring us joy? Are we focusing on the things in our lives that are there for our good, for our pleasure, that God has placed in our lives? Philippians 4 talks about, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. Are we focusing on the things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy? Are we thinking on those things? Are we enjoying those things? Are we longing to see those things present in the lives of others? And Paul talks about, you know, what you have learned from me or received from me. What did we think about back in, where was that? That's awful, I can't remember what it was. Back when we were talking about Paul being abandoned and alone, yet finding joy in the Lord, in the strength of an encounter with God. Even when he was abandoned, he was joyful. Are we learning from Paul's experience? Are we learning from what Paul tells us about joy? Finding joy in every opportunity that there is to be found. Are we persisting in joy and persisting in what Paul was talking about? Persisting in the joy, in the knowledge that the Lord would lead him, that the Lord will lead us into the heavenly kingdom if we own Jesus. He was joyful in affliction despite being alone and abandoned. So how are we releasing joy? I mean, we're talking about joy, Christian joy, but it is a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? And the fruits of the Spirit need to be shown forth in our lives. Those fruits, love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, these things need to be shown forth in our lives. One little example that I was looking at when I was researching and thinking about and prayerfully considering what we were going to do was about priming a pump. So when you prime a pump, You have to really go at it, don't you? You have to really exert pressure on the lever to get the water to come out. But it takes a wee while, and when the pump action finally meets the water, what happens? The water gushes out. So there is a repetitive movement, a practice of moving that handle up and down until the pump action begins and the water starts to flow. So are we practicing, are we exerting any kind of, are we trying to find those moments? Are we practicing joy? Are we trying to connect with the joy of the Lord, with the fruit of the Spirit? The pump action contacts the water and the water flows, and sometimes it even gushes out, doesn't it? Comes in a rush and a gush of water. And it's the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Isn't it that feeds that well within us? The Holy Spirit feeds that well within us. And it's that which we connect with. The constant exertion makes the water flow, and eventually it gushes forth. We can add to this sort of constant practice and this constant coming back to God as the source of our joy with this adoption of an attitude. We were talking about the Israelites having this attitude of joy. Despite their circumstances, despite the fact they're in the middle of the desert, they celebrated that God had led them out of Egypt. They shouted, they sang for joy. It was an attitude of hope and joy, not because of their present circumstances, but because of God's love and promise to them. Christian joy, our joy in the Lord, is the profound decision of faith and of hope in the power of Christ's own life, his own life, and the love and hope that we can find in him. It's not just an expression of or release of the fruits of the Spirit in our own life, the fruit of joy in our own life, but into the lives of others. We're called to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, to grow it and develop it and show it forth in the lives of others. So are we seeking opportunities to speak joyfully into the lives of others, to encourage people where possible? Do we rejoice with and enjoy with, like that Greek word, synkharo? Do we enjoy with and celebrate with? Are we reflecting on the joy of the Lord and allowing it to be our strength? When we're weak, do we go to God? Is it God that we go to, earnestly seeking after him and for his joy and his presence? Like Jeremiah tells us, are we inwardly digesting the word of God so much so that it becomes the delight and the joy of our hearts? Are we allowing ourselves to be strengthened by others, by those around us? Are we strengthening ourselves and seeking after God? Are we strengthened by entering into encounters and opening ourselves up to encountering God? And when we talked about the joy of the Lord being our strength, like it says in Nehemiah, that word meaning to be joined. Are we joined with the Lord, earnestly joined with the Lord? So I just want to leave you with this. Do you know who prescribes your joy? Do you know where to go when you're feeling weak, like you're deficient in joy? Do you know where to go? Are you practicing it in your life? Are you earnestly seeking after it? And are you enjoying the joy of the Lord? And are you keeping it on repeat prescription, so to speak? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you are our joy. You are the source of our joy. Lord, we pray that you would fill each one of us with strength from on high, that we would be people that would enjoy your presence, enjoy our faith in you, and enjoy the knowledge that you long to lead us and fill us. That we would be people that would laugh and be overflowing with gladness. That we would be people who would shout for joy and sing your praise, so much so that those people around us would look at us and say, "The Lord has done great things for them." So come, Lord Jesus. Be upon us as we continue in worship tonight. Amen. Amen.